Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Last week, our guest was, this is the recruiting animal, by the way, but last week, our guest was John Sumser, the great John Sumser. And the day after the show, he was speaking at a conference here in Toronto, just by coincidence. So I went to the hotel to meet him for lunch, but Al Gore was speaking there, too. So in the lobby, there's just me and a lot of security, guys and girls, and a lot of them. I'm sitting there waiting for John. I'm waiting, and these guys are just staring at me. And finally, some guy with a big phony smile comes over and says, "Sir, what are you doing here?" I said, "I'm waiting for somebody." He says, "Who?" I said, "John Sumser. Is he staying at this hotel?" I said, "How do I know? Am I working here?" He said, Sir, I think you better come with me." I said, "To the back room? Are you crazy? The next thing you know, I'll be in Syria. No way." Now, this cooled him down. He knew I was savvy. So he said, "Please, sir, all we want to know is, who are you and why are you here?" I said, "Don't you know? I'm the recruiting animal, and this is the recruiting animal show."
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Hey, welcome back. Now, on today's show, we got a special guest, Konstantin Gorycki, co-founder of the famous LinkedIn social networking site. Konstantin is now the CEO of Jaxtr, J-A-X-T-R. That's the main topic of our show today. But before we start, I'd like to ask Konstantin a few questions. I'm going to see if he's here yet. Konstantin, are you on air?
I'm on air.
Oh, welcome to the show. Okay, I got a question for you. I saw that your Jaxtr name is Jaxtr Tin, T-I-N. Is that your nickname?
Yes.
Is that what your wife calls you, Tin?
Oh, no, that's just, I was just trying to, you know, kind of give myself a new identity for this new job. So
okay, I would like to call you Tin. That's all right with you?
Actually, I think my parents call me Konstantin, so I'll just go with...
Oh, you like Konstantin? Well, I got another question for you. You know that French cartoon character, Tintin?
Yeah, I know Tintin.
Is his real name Konstantin? I never thought of it before.
I don't know. Konstantin is kind of a Greek... I was actually born in Greece, so...
Oh, yeah, I read your MySpace site. In fact, we're all going to go there in a few minutes. But first, I have a few questions for you. You live in California. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Do you know any movie stars?
No, the movie stars tend to be in L.A. You know,
okay.
I'm up in Silicon Valley where the internet people are.
What about Arnold Schwarzenegger? You ever met him?
Never met him. I think his accent would be too thick to understand.
No, you know what? I think that the reason I mention this, those politicians should have one of your buttons on their site because they can talk to you, right? I could see his site would say, "Press the button and call me."
Yeah, no, I think that would be great.
Okay.
Anyone listening who has a good tie to Arnold, tell him to get a Jaxtr button.
Yes. If someone's listening, knows Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's always possible. Get in touch with Konstantin. Okay, so just a few more questions, then we'll see if there's any callers. And first I'll give you a chance to talk about your product. But, you know, there's Jobster, there's Friendster, there's a lot of stirs online. And now you've got this Jaxtr. It sounds like right. You know, it's got the right sound. But it's spelled like something from the planet Krypton. What's the reason for that?
Oh, we just thought it would be something that's, you know, we wanted something that was short and that was unique. And, you know, whenever you do something unique, it's hard in the beginning, but then it sticks a lot better rather than, you know, having something called, you know, click to call or something like that. That's very explanatory, but people just kind of forget about it. And we think the X in the middle of it is kind of cool as well. So
Yeah, but so, there's no E at the, I mean, like, I have to spell it every time I'm telling somebody about it. It's J-A-X-T-R, right? Anyway.
Yeah, well, most of the time people, you know, will hear about Jaxter because they see a button or someone has it in their signature file like you do. So then the spelling isn't an issue. And actually, we bought the different domains that have the T-E-R, for example. So even if they spell a T-E-R, they still arrive at the same place.
Now, before we talk about the product, I'd like everyone who's listening to take a look at it. So I looked at your MySpace site. It's great. So I'm just going to advise everybody to go there, okay, before we start talking. It's www.myspace.com/JAXTR, then T-I-N. That's Constantine's nickname that he doesn't use, okay? That's his new idea. MySpace, but for nowhere else. Okay, so the thing about it is you've got a nice big display of your, you know, I can see where it's suitable to MySpace. If you're a pretty girl and somebody wants to call you up, they don't have to get your number, but they can call you and leave you a voicemail. But you were going to tell us, how is it, you know, what use is it to recruiters? That's essentially the theme question for today. You want to tell us a bit about that, and then I'll let the recruiters attack you?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. Basically, what Jaxter provides is a virtual 800 number that's free to use. And, you know, what that is particularly for, I mean, some recruiters may already employ an 800 number, and then they can simply save the cost of that. So that's one thing you can think about.
I'm having a bit of trouble hearing you. Are you on your speakerphone or your regular phone?
Should I call in from the landline?
No, now that you're on, I want you to stay. But maybe later, if someone's making a big speech, you can switch. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, because I'm on my mobile phone.
So okay, so let's go with that.
Having a virtual 800 number, so one of them is the cost savings. But the other thing is when people, you know, when you come to someone's, you know, your web presence is very important. Obviously, you know blogs are important. Having a website as a recruiter is important. And you can give people, you know, even an 800 number there. But then you have the issues that, you know, that you basically ask them, you know, if people are on your site, they're in clicking mode. They're not in, oh, you know, here's the number, let me go dig up my phone and dial this number and punch it in. So what you want to do is when a potential client, you know, is on your site, is looking where they want to employ your services, you know, one thing is they can just click and it calls you. So that's really, you know, as a way to make it basically convert potential clients who visit your blog, who visit your LinkedIn profile, because LinkedIn has, you know, a service provider directory, and I know a lot of recruiters are getting endorsements from clients to be listed there. But then if you want to convert those leads into paying customers, you know, Jaxter is one way to do it. And as you know, once you get a client on the phone, you have a much better chance to sell them than if they just send you there and you send an email back and, you know, you just send messages back and forth. So if you can get people to call. The other advantage is that you can basically have a lot of control over the calls that come in. So if you have salespeople or other people calling you, Jaxter makes it very easy to block individual people who are calling you, which is not something you can do with regular phone service.
That's an important question. Can I interrupt for a minute?
Sure.
Okay. What you said about psychologically you're in click mode rather than call mode, wow, you know, it really struck me. That's true. It's because it's true. It's certainly true of me, and I'd be more inclined to call. But for recruiters, that's kind of a problem. I have a friend. I'm looking right now for a senior financial analyst with a project-oriented background. So it's very specific. I was telling my friend, he says, what are you working on lately? So I told him about this job. He said, he mentioned a name. I said, who? He mentioned name again. It's his son, right? So I said, your son doesn't have any experience. Does he have project-oriented experience? No. But this guy's a bit pushy, right? So he wanted me to put forward his son. It's absolutely ridiculous. So the thing is, we don't want to encourage people who are not appropriate to give us a call on all the jobs that we're working on. Like, you'll get every pizza driver who thinks he can move up in the world. Hey, I think I'll call this guy. It's free. You know, I'm in Bombay or way out wherever, and or Shanghai, I'll give this guy a call in San Francisco or Toronto or New York. So what you're saying now is that there's a way to filter out the unwanted calls, and I'm curious how you do that.
Yeah, so basically once you put, again, you could put a button or a widget onto your page.
Yep.
Then when people call, we have by default something called the privacy shield. Mm-hmm. And that's on by default. And if you have the privacy shield on, basically everybody who calls you actually just goes to voicemail. It's like a voicemail box.
I left you a voicemail just before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what then happens when you get an email notification that this voicemail is there, and then you can say, well, this is actually a person I want them to ring through. So you basically can approve that person. And next time that person calls, they pass right through the privacy shield, while the other people that you haven't approved, you know, can just leave you a voicemail. And if one is that person that's trying to push their pizza driver or whatever it is,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You block them so they can't even leave you a voicemail. So that way you have filtering capabilities. You can also choose which phone rings. So because I mean a lot of us have, you know, a cell phone, a work phone, and a home phone, right? When I'm at home, you know, I don't want to necessarily burn through my cell minutes, so I'll just have the calls that come in go to my home phone. When I'm at the office, maybe my cell phone coverage is bad, I'll have it go to my work phone. But when I'm on the road, I'll route it to my cell phone. And you don't need to give people three different numbers. They just click on the Jackstrap button. They don't even know which phone rings. And your phone number is private, so they don't even know. You don't need to give out your cell phone number. You don't need to give out your home phone number. Yet your cell phone number and home phone number rings for the right kind of people.
But what
I focus on right now, and I think the biggest use is not so much with candidates, but with, you know, with getting clients, because a lot of recruiters are their own business, and getting clients is one of the key things. I mean, we can talk about the candidate side of things as well, but I'm right now focusing, I think, the most important use is for making it easy to get clients and to convert, you know, potential clients to clients. That's what I
But see. you know who's going to be most inclined to call you. That's my point. If the button's there, the least desired person is probably the one who will call. At least that's my guess. I remember I used to work in a company, and we used to put out a laundry list of jobs every week, and, you know, half of them would be totally inappropriate. But I love what you were saying about that filtering capacity. Although you might have a lot of calls to filter through, and it would be best if the potential clients called you, I think it, you know, the pyramid might be very few clients and a huge base of just, you know, people from all over the world. Like I have a blog right now. I get emails from all over. Here's my resume. I'm in another country, so there'd be a huge immigration issue. I want to work in Canada. So I'm imagining that if I put my and I'm going to when I have a site locally for Toronto, I'm going to put up a Jackster button there. But I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of inappropriate calls off that. That's just the thing. I have to mention something. The sound quality on Jackster, have you only used it a few times so far? Very, very good. Is there something about it that makes it better than some of the other services?
I think because we actually work directly with the codecs that the telephone, so we don't, you know, unlike Skype, it's, you know, one thing, the important thing about Jackster is that you don't have to, you know, be on your computer when you make a call. You don't have to have a headset and download software. It's, you know, it's much easier. And again, you don't want to have a Skype Me button on there. Basically, you're assuming your potential client will download Skype just to talk to you.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is Skype has its own codecs on, because they started off as a computer-to-computer calling service. Now, they have services where they interoperate with the telcos, but they have to basically translate their way of doing it to the telcos, and in that translation, you know, you get poor quality. We work primarily with the telcos, and we're using their codecs. And so that's why the voice quality is better.
Because one of the guys from who's probably you know, listening right now, he's going to probably ask you some questions later. He called me last night. I got to tell you, I was very impressed, because sometimes, just so everybody knows who hasn't used it yet, sometimes on some of the over the internet long distance services, it cuts off the first millisecond of when you're talking. So you think that there's a space. At least for me, I start talking before the other, you know, to fill that space, and I end up stepping on somebody's toes. I don't have that experience when I'm using Jackster at all, so I have to congratulate you on that. I was very impressed with the sound quality.
So one question that might be fun, once we open it up to the group, and
yeah.
Again, I'd rather open it up sooner rather than later. But
they're raring to go, so you put out the question.
So I think the first question would be is just to take kind of a survey of people who are there. You know, how many put a phone number on their website, and how many have an 800 number, and just what's been your experience, you know, if you've put it on, why did you put it on, why do you have it still on, you know, if you don't have it on, you know, why did you not do it, did you try it and take it down? So I'm just curious kind of with that, and that'll get us into a good discussion of, you know, what are reasons to put it on. Do you put it on for candidates, do you put it on for clients? Now one thing, though, before we get people to jump in on that is, on the voicemail side, what's very important is that the Jaxta voicemail is a visual voicemail. So when you get your voicemail, it looks just like your Gmail or Yahoo Mail account. So it's not the same as the voicemails that you get on your cell phone, which are very annoying because you have to, like, listen to each one, and then you have to delete each one, and you can't keep them around for later because then there's piles in the stack that you have to linear listen to. The Jaxta voicemail is a visual voicemail. It's on the web. It looks exactly like Gmail. And you can just leave all the voicemails on there, and you can just, you know, pick and choose which one you want to listen to simply by clicking, and you can fast forward through it. You don't need to remember, you know, any kind of funky code. So it's a very different voicemail experience than people have on there.
So let's go there, but I want to ask a question later on. You said you don't have to, or maybe you can answer it now before we listen to the listener.
Mm-hmm.
You said you don't have to be on the net to call?
Yeah, so what happens, so the first time, so our assumption is, I mean, the key benefit is that the first time someone encounters you is while they're either reading your email, they're reading your blog, they're on your LinkedIn profile. So the first time, the caller will be, you know, on email or on the web. And obviously when he calls you, if you have your mobile phone, you know, hooked up to your Jaxta account, you don't have to be on the computer. You could be roaming about wherever you are. But what happens is when the person calls you, let's say someone calls you from London, when they click to call, you know, we call them back and we give them a London number that's already on the cell phone. If they save that number, the next time they can call you from their mobile phone just using that number, and that number is a London number, so they can make mobile calls without the international mobile rates are usually a buck or two per minute. They can go up to 6 minutes if you're calling China. But you're just paying as if you're calling a number in London, yet the phone in New York or LA rings. And if you're in Tokyo, you get a Tokyo number. If you're in Sydney, you get a Sydney number.
Okay, when I left you the message today before the show, it said, take this number. And it gave me a 647 number, which is an area code in Toronto. But what happens after 100 minutes? After I left you the long message, it said you've got 80-something minutes left. So what happens then?
Well, no, outgoing calls don't eat up your minutes. It's
uh-huh.
like an 800 number, so only
okay.
incoming calls. When you use up your 100 minutes that you have, again, it's a little different depending on which country you're in, but in the U.S. it's 100 minutes,
mm-hmm.
then future calls that come in just go to voicemail. The other thing is that you can do is you can earn minutes by inviting other people. So everybody that you up to Jaxta, you get 20 more minutes for that person.
Okay, yeah, when I saw I was down to 80-something, I sent out a bunch of invitations. Okay. So let's
and
go to
down the road, I mean, people want to know, like, how are we going to make money, and that's the obvious thing. It's like, well, you know, if you run out of minutes, you know, at some point we'll also say, you know, here's a PayPal account, send us some money, and we'll, you know, you can buy those extra minutes, and that's how the self, you know, that's how the telecommunication world works. So it's a pretty straightforward business model.
Okay, so we'll
but
go to the list.
100,
yeah. Sorry?
Oh, just one thing. But the 100 is not a one-time thing you just get for signing up.
Uh-huh.
Every month, you restock your balance, too, so that you always start the month with 100 minutes.
Oh, really? Oh, isn't that interesting? Okay. Now, I got to tell you, again, sorry, listeners, just before, actually this morning, I got a call from the founder of and CEO of Blog Talk Radio, the service we're using now. And I thought, boy, he must, I've only done four. This is the fourth one. And I thought, he must think I'm great. But no, he wanted to talk to you. So he's going to call in today. I think I sent you an email. I don't know if you saw it. He's on hold right now, but so we'll. I might have to ask someone to drop off later on. So should we go to the listeners right now?
Yeah, great.
Okay, and the question again was, do you guys use 800 numbers on your websites? Do you use? Do you put your phone number there at all? What kind of results do you get from the call-ins? Am I right about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, a website or blog or LinkedIn. I mean, what's one thing I noticed at LinkedIn, some people put their phone number right onto their LinkedIn profile.
Uh-huh,
now,
yeah, I
always felt like, is that really a good idea because 10 million people have your cell phone number? You know, is that a smart idea?
Yeah, so far no one's called me. There you go. So, okay, anybody want to chime in?
Hello?
Listeners? Hello? Yeah, who am I speaking to?
Yeah, hi, this is Alan Levy calling.
Oh, Alan, okay, this is the founder. So he's got on first. This is the guy from Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, Howard Constantine, how are you? This is Alan Levy, founder.
Hey, nice to meet you virtually. Over the phone.
Yes, congratulations on Jaxter and your company and your other accomplishments. I went through your LinkedIn profile, and you're quite accomplished. So.
Thank you.
I wanted to meet you. I was very happy to see that you were on Mike's show and the Recruiting Animal today. It's great. And, you know, as you look at Blog Talk Radio, I don't know if you're familiar with our platform here, but obviously phones and it's very key to what we do. I mean, we're providing a platform where people are connecting people.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Live. And I think there may be some things down the road that we can discuss in terms of Jaxter, perhaps. You know, do you interact with the phone? When do you dial an outbound call? When you get that, basically you're getting that notification via ping or an email, and then you're using an outbound, you're going into the PSTN via the outbound call to, when you're dialing, obviously, back a regular number. I actually left you a message earlier today on my phone number, and you may have gotten it or not. How does that work with your system?
So the first time you click on the widget, it calls you. As it kind of like, you know, in the old days where you had, or when people had the luxury of having assistants, you know, let's say, okay, here, set up this call with John.
It reminds me of callback. It reminds me of callback, the old, which I was in. I'm a telecom background. I mean, that's Blog Talk Radio, in essence, is a telecom infrastructure. That's how we're approaching this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's basically, I would think the most thing is like you have a virtual assistant who basically says, I want to call this person, and then that assistant calls you and calls the other person and then bridges the call between the two. And I'm not sure if the callback systems work like that, but that's how it works. But then the second time, since you now have a direct dial number, you just use that number, and then it functions really as a proxy system. Because in this case, you know, everybody who calls me gets a number for me to call me, but everybody gets a different number. It's not one number that I give to everybody. And that's, for example, the problem with Skype In is you can, you know, first of all, that costs money, but then you have one number, let's say your U.S. number. But the people in Tokyo who want to call through Skype In, they have to make an international call. The people in Milan have to make an international call.
So you have like an inventory of DIDs or phone numbers from around the world that you're using, or what?
Yeah, we have thousands of numbers around the world, and each of these numbers can be used by many people. So it's not like we're going to run out of numbers.
I see. So you use one number. I see. So you have a certain set of numbers in each country, and so in essence, they're local calls. The people using it are local calls rather than the international call.
Yeah. And
right.
So it's kind of, because I think what happened with Skype, but we should probably also make sure we go back to the recruiter audience.
Most
interested in the cost savings. But one thing that, you know, Skype was obviously very popular, and because it got rid of the cost of international calls. But really what they added is they added a huge cost of inconvenience, which is, you know, having a headset and download software and registering and all that stuff. And having to be sitting in front of your computer, but still have been willing to do it. So I think now we're basically eliminating also the cost of inconvenience. But again, that may not be the most important thing for recruiters, unless you have international clients. I mean, if you have international clients, then that can be very important, or work internationally, find clients internationally.
I got to interrupt. You know, I'm known for pushing people along, and I'm getting lots of complaints over my instant messenger. So, Alan, I don't want you to kick me off Blog Talk Radio, but how about if we put the technical talk at the end of the program,
that's fine. No, you carry on, and I appreciate that. Don't want you to get any hate IMs through.
Yeah, these recruiters are very rough, I got to tell you.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to be on, and perhaps we'll touch base and we'll talk about some other things.
Okay, take care.
I'll drop you an email if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. Be well.
Okay, back to the recruiters. Do you use 800 numbers? Do you put them on your website or blog or MySpace site or LinkedIn? And do you get any calls? Somebody else?
Hello?
I have it.
Yep. Who's next?
Is that Maureen? Amy Beth.
Amy Beth. Amy Beth, you're in Cincinnati, right?
Yes, I am.
Amy Beth Hale, research goddess. She's a sorcerer, Constantine, just so you know. There's recruiters, there's sorcerers. That's her job.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I actually just added the Call Now button to my blog a couple of nights ago. And I think it's great because I don't want to give out my personal phone number for my home. You know, that's personal for a reason and everything. And I also don't want to give out my work number because that's for work stuff. And, you know, for anybody that wants to reach me in regards to research or blogging or anything like that, I think this is going to be an excellent thing for me to have. So thank you. I appreciate this.
Okay, great.
Well, you got a fan.
Yeah.
Anybody angry, want to disagree with them? Come on.
Hello?
Yes, who's this?
Jason.
Jason, I thought you said you couldn't get on.
I didn't know I was on.
Okay, Jason Davis. This is Jason Davis from recruiting.com. Used to be my partner there. Now he's the manager. Outgoing, but still the boss.
Hey,
Jason, go ahead.
How are you, Constantine?
Actually, you guys spoke before, Constantine. I don't know if you remember him. I think you spoke to him last
week. Yeah. You know what? We did an interview with Anthony J. Meany, and for some reason we just couldn't get the editing and all of that, and it never made it to the blog. But you were asking about the 1-800 numbers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And from my experience, I mean, you know, it's so easy to apply for positions already. I think it's a cool concept, but as a recruiter, I was taught, and I was always against putting 1-800 numbers on our website or, you know, allowing candidates to call back, collector, that sort of thing, because for me, you know, my view was always, well, if I call this person and I leave a message and I present something that is sort of somewhat interesting to them, I want them to call me back. I want them to pay for it and show that they're...
Let me say something very interesting in this case, because Jason is here in Toronto, but all of his recruiting is done south of the border. Am I right?
Yeah.
So everything's long distance. So you would leave something for a message for someone in Arizona and tell them to call you here, 416?
Correct. And you know what? I never had a problem with it. Maybe I would have made more placements if I would have had a 1-800 number, but I suspect that you'd end up talking to more people than you might want to talk to. I think for clients, it's a great idea. But when you start allowing people, I mean, you always look at people complaining about all the resume spam they get from job boards and stuff like that. But
once you start emailing people, I'll just point, because I used it myself this way, you can put, you know, you can provide the link, the link to your Jaxter number, just in a little line of code, like a little URL, and
right.
You can put it under your name at the bottom of the email and say, "Call me here for free." I did it a few times, and it seems to work quite well. Am I right about that, Constantine?
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I would suggest in that situation. So that basically use the button, you know, and use it in the way that the right people find you. So if you if you find that you only want to hear from people that you email, then simply put the Jaxter link. It's a simple URL, just like a URL to your website. Just put it, you know, into your email signature file and say, "Call me for free." So you could simply choose that as your distribution mechanism. If you have on the website maybe two different areas, you know, one for candidates, one for clients, you know, and maybe you do want to hear from clients, then put it just in the client section, not in the candidate section, for example. So if you feel, for example, that the leads that come to you from your LinkedIn profile are much better than the people who just run across your website or your blog, then put it just on your LinkedIn profile. So you can basically choose by where you put this to try to, you know, to get to the right audience. But then at the same time, if you leave the privacy shield on, your phone is not going to ring, because that's the most expensive time that if someone talks your ear off. It's just going to leave your voicemail. And the voicemail, you know, you can ignore, you can listen to it. It just gives you another option.
Okay.
Down the road, what we're going to do is we're going to tie people's LinkedIn profiles and so forth together. So with every voicemail you get, you can look up the person's LinkedIn profile, for example, before you call them back. So that may be helpful.
Yeah. Oh, really? You're going to tie it to LinkedIn? Very interesting. Okay.
Thanks.
Jason, anything else?
No, that's all. Thanks.
Who's next?
Okay.
Nice meeting you, Constantine.
Okay. Good talk to you, Jason.
Come on, get off already. Who's next? Sorry, Jason. Anybody else? I know there's a lot of people who've called in. I can see them. Anybody want to say something? Doesn't sound like
Harry Joyner.
Harry Joyner from Atlanta. He's the marketing headhunter. tough questioner. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know about that. This is just really a comment. Constantine, nice to meet you. I included a Jaxter button today in my autoresponder, and I think it's a great idea. I mean, I'm really anxious to see how this works. But
autoresponder, want to define that for everybody first?
I beg your
pardon? That's your email. That's your email marketing. Is that right?
Yeah. So for example, if somebody right now sends an email to harry.joiner at gmail.com, you'll get pinged with an autoresponder that offers, you know, a couple of download links for some resources and says, click to call me now. I haven't had anybody call me, but, you know, this kind of stuff, it's just one more way for the customer or the candidate to reach out and touch me, and I can't see it suppressing response. Therefore, I think it's probably a really, really good idea. I'm anxious to see how this works.
Yeah, great. So one thing we found is that actually some people really like to put it in, you know, some people who use Instant Messenger a lot, they put it in there, what's called the Instant Messaging Away screen. So if you're idle, if you're not on your computer, then some screen shows a little bit of information about yourself, and they put the Jaxter link there. So that way, because they're not on their computer, but now people still get in touch with them when they're, you know, off their IM.
Yeah, I think it'll work great. Here's a suggestion, right? You want free advice. Everybody loves free advice. I tried to install a Jaxter widget on my blog today, and it installed just fine, and it worked. The only problem is that my blog is green and white with blue accents, right? My LinkedIn widget and everything. And so your button is like bright orange, and it was huge, and it clashed, and it dominated the page, so I took it off.
Yeah.
So if you could come up with a blue or a green widget, you'd get the marketing headhunter to put a widget on his page. You should probably offer him in multiple colors and multiple sizes, et cetera.
Yeah, we'll have that in about probably 3 to 4 weeks. We'll allow people to customize. So right now there's actually three different form factors. You can have the big kind of square block, then you have one that fits kind of in the side of the blogs, which is smaller, and then you have the button. But right now, you know, you can pick any color you want as long as it's orange. But that's going to change pretty soon. The other thing, though, I would encourage people that, again, makes it very different than the telephony is, you can meet people with your own voice. So if people have went to my MySpace page, you know, they heard me talking right away as soon as they came to my page. And that's a way to just make it more personal for people, you know, who come to your page. Now, some people may not feel comfortable with that, but it's a way to grab people's attention. And I think as humans, you know, voice really matters. And I think that's why recruiters, you know, would rather, and we heard that at LinkedIn all the time, they would rather call the candidates and send them a message because they felt like, you know, it's just, I mean, they don't want to, like, keep typing away all day, but also they felt that something powerfully and emotional and engaging in voice that just gets lost in plain text. And so,
you know, I'm going to interrupt. I have to disagree with you about when you go to a site, it's nice to get that greeting once, but every time you go back, you get the same greeting without requesting it. As long as you can request it, that's one thing. But if it comes on automatically, just like the terrible organ music that comes on when you go to some websites, I don't consider that a plus. I'm just going to be frank with you. I don't know what anybody else thinks about
that. Well, you can choose. That's one of the settings. When you record it, you can choose it to autoplay, or you can choose it to people click on it to play.
You know, I don't think we explained that. Can you tell people what you're talking about exactly?
Yeah, so basically the way you do this is you go to, once you sign up for Jaxter, you go to the Customize tab, and you call a phone number that is the same phone number every time, and you record something. And then you can choose to either have it auto-playing for your visitors, or you can say play it only when people click on the play link on my widget. And so it's just a configuration how you want to do it. And I think if you think people, you know, and people have different preferences for that. So we don't offer customization of the colors, but we do offer, you know, that choice that you were mentioning.
Awesome. Well, it's a great product. I just got a slug of emails from other callers, people wanting to see my, click to call button. So anyway, hi, everybody. So great call. I'm going to recede back into the woodwork here.
Okay, anybody else talk about numbers on their website or anything like that?
Well, if you have some questions about LinkedIn, you know, anything related, I know you had something, you know, You know, I have to be careful. I don't want to be like this, you know, this you know, backseat driver for LinkedIn. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'll be cautious on kind of how I respond. I'm just going to, and I'm not responding on behalf of the company, just kind of as a LinkedIn user. So from that perspective. But if there's questions there.
If nobody has questions, I have some. But I'm going to get, you know, callers, anything you want to say? Okay, then I'll ask my question. These guys are, I thought they were much tougher. Actually, you know what? I want to make an announcement. Back in October, Jason Davis, who we just spoke to, he had a poker tournament for recruiters here in Toronto, and I went, and it was $750 to play, and I didn't want to spend $750, even though it was for charity. It was for the ERE Foundation. I don't know if you've ever heard, Constantine, of ERE. I'd say that's the main recruiting site online, and Dave Manister runs it. So I didn't want to spend $750, but I did promise him $10, and that guy's been chasing me for that money constantly. So I told him, I said, okay, you know, I'm late with that money. I will make an announcement on air, or whatever you call it, online, that he's got this foundation for illiterate children. It's a, at least that's what I assume. It's a literacy foundation. It's ERE. It's the ERE Foundation. You can find it at ere.net, and you can give $750 or $10. He's happy for everything. My money's going to be Canadian dollars. I've warned him about that. So, but most of the listeners are American, so there's no problem there. Anybody else wants to talk, they're welcome to. I'm gonna ask you a question. It's not about Jaxter. It's about you. You know, you've been very successful. I noticed you put your astrological sign on MySpace. Is there, you know, does that have anything to do with your success?
No, I think they do it automatically once you put your birthday in there. So.
Oh, really? Oh, you didn't put that in your, he's a Virgo if you don't see it there. So that has nothing. Oh, okay, but I'm serious. You know, as a recruiter, we're always wondering, you know, what makes people successful? You're a young guy, 39 years old, it said, and you're a king of Web 2.0, in my opinion, a king. And so any statements about, I don't know, your personal character or your business practices or the way you work, the way you manage yourself that accounts for, you know, being, I would say, on the top of the heap today? Or is it just, you know, luck? You tell us.
Well, I think, first of all, luck has a great deal to do with it. But I think there's two things that make it more likely that luck comes towards you. I think the first thing is you got to be persistent. So, I mean, I've been doing startups, you know, I've been doing 7 or 8 startups.
Oh, really? Which other ones? Can you tell us?
The first one in the early 90s was to make flowcharting software. So this is before the web. And, you know, and it was reasonably successful, but not hugely successful. Actually, you know, it was profitable. But you got to keep trying. You know, you just got to stay in the game. I mean, when you look at venture capitalists, these people, all they do is they try to pick the right startups. That's their job. And, you know, and only for those guys, only 1 out of 10 succeeds. So, you know, as just an employee, you know, as a fresh student out of college, you got to be expecting to be involved in 10 startups, too. So you got to be persistent to be lucky, because if you give up too quickly, then luck will never find you. So that's the first thing. The other one, I think, is relationships. I mean, I think that, you know, how you treat other people, how you work with them, how you help them. So I don't think it's so much about talking, but it's more about doing. If you're helpful to other people will help you. And that help is something you can't really pay for, because sometimes it may be some piece of information that your competitors don't have access to, but because you maybe help someone get a job or help someone with some information, you get that information back. So how you manage your relationship and really making sure you help other people is, I think, very important. And so, and that'll favor luck coming your way.
Go ahead.
No, internally and externally, although I don't subscribe to the fact, like, it's the number of relationships that you have, because I think that, you know, if there's no depth to those relationships, not a lot of good things flow that way. And in fact, I think you can shoot yourself in the foot if you introduce someone as a candidate and you don't really know them that well, and then they don't work out well. You know, it does reflect on you if you make the introduction. So I think that it's better to have, you know, you know, a set of relationships that are strong, where you know what they want, they know what you want, you know, they're going to help each other out. And through the people that these people that are your direct relationships know, you know, you have access to a whole bunch of weak relationships, and you can always get introduced. And obviously, as you can see, that's very much what went into the design of LinkedIn, is to say, like, rather than trying to, like, you know, have a million weak relationships, you know, which really don't count for much, you know, let's have a circle of strong relationships, and you can then, but you can find those weak relationships because they're probably a strong relationship of someone that you have a strong relationship from.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, again, I don't know if this is something you want to talk about, but whenever I told somebody that you were coming on today, they said, why did he go to Jaxtr? They just can't figure it out. So this is not to say anything about LinkedIn, but, you know, can you sort of give an idea of, like, what you see is in the potential of click-to-call? Because obviously you must have a long-term view of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, one is LinkedIn is doing, you know, very well, and I think those people in the recruiting business know that it's becoming a tool that more and more people rely on and that it works, and it's actually not just true for recruiting but for other industries as well. But I, you know, I like creating things, and, you know, and the LinkedIn is on a pretty steady path at this point, and it's not kind of, you know, the green field, like, you know, what do we use LinkedIn for and what can we use? I mean, we have 4 years' worth of feedback. You know, we have features to build for the next 12 years. It's you know, and I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I like the challenge of Jaxtr, which is, you know, we're still trying to find out who we are. We're trying to find how people want to use us. We're trying to find out, you know, what we can charge for, what's free. So I like that, so that's really fun. And I think the other thing is the action in social networks is now what I call, I think social networks are becoming platforms and applications. The next wave is people building applications on top of these social networks. So we saw that at LinkedIn. There's already three or four little applications that sit on top of LinkedIn. So there's the LinkedIn Box thing, there's the LinkedIn Contact Manager, and LinkedIn has a product manager who's just working on APIs to, you know, to see what kind of applications can be built on top of it. And so I think that's, and if you can see, YouTube in many ways was an application that sat on top of MySpace. So I think that's the exciting area in the evolution of social networks, is now that these social networks are established, there's now all these new applications, similar like you have all these Windows applications that make Windows much more useful than just the operating system. And I think in many ways these opportunities are actually bigger because, you know, Jaxtr works not just with LinkedIn, but with MySpace, with Facebook, with YouTube, with Wikipedia. So I think there's a pretty big company we built. People spend $60 billion a year on international long distance, so I think we're going to build a very big business. And also it's one that almost everyone talks on the phone. Not like my parents, they're both retired. They don't have a use for LinkedIn, but they have a use for Jaxtr because they call me every week from Germany. So I think it's fun to have a product that really touches everybody, and there's very few people who don't use a phone anymore.
Okay, but let me clarify something there.
Question here.
Okay, Larry Houghton in San Francisco. I just want to tell you, he wrote a great book called It's Not What You Say, It's What You Do. Is that right? Larry, did I get the title right?
What was it? Yeah, that sounds right.
That's it. Okay, go ahead. Larry Houghton.
It's a book on follow through from the manager's perspective. But I got a question, and I don't want to be the skunk at the garden party here, but I'm looking at this Jaxtr screen that I've got in front of me, and it says send text, send V-mail, call now.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's my question. That implies to me that if I press the call now button, I'm going to be able to reach somebody now. And what you were talking about earlier was all this screening and all these other things, and it would seem to me that if that ends up being my user experience with a business, I'm going to get turned off to not only that business, but after a couple of times of that, I'm going to get turned off to using it because I'm going to realize I can't call them now. All I can do is enter the queue.
Well, it depends how, you know, different people, you know, so we have a privacy shield. Some people have it on, some people have it off. If they have it on, if they have it off, you'll always go through. If you have it on, yes, you will go to voicemail the first time, but then, you know, if they approve you, the next time you'll go through. So it really depends on the recipient, and, you know, and it's a little similar to LinkedIn, where we have to always strike a balance, right? On LinkedIn, there's people who want to contact the other people, but we need to, like, the system needs to work for the people being contacted as well as the contactors, right? If we gave recruiters, you know, too many things, then the users, the normal users who are just who you're trying to recruit, may no longer want to participate in LinkedIn because they're getting too swamped, or, you know, they're getting crank calls on, you know, on their phone number and so forth. So the system always has to take into account the caller as well as the callee. And so who you actually get through to depends very much on, it's a choice of the person who owns the phone. And I think that's the right choice. We need to, because they are our primary customer. They're the ones who are, you know, who signed up with our service. And we need to make sure that the system doesn't overwhelm them.
Two options, right? Yeah. So, Larry, that's just it. It's optional according to the – sorry. I'm known for butting in, and I haven't butted in on you at all.
Can I say something? But, this is Maureen.
Okay.
This is Maureen.
Maureen yeah. Sharif, she's another sorcerer in Cincinnati. I guess it's a hotbed of you guys.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In the water.
Shoot.
Can you hear me? I know last time
yes,
I was very low.
Yes, you're nice and loud and clear today. Go
okay,
ahead.
Good. I think Larry just hit on something. You know, clearly 7 or 8 calls that you make, you hit voicemail. And it's one of the reasons people, I think, rely so heavily on email communication, and because it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating to try to call somebody these days and usually hit the voicemail. And mm-hmm. it's one of the issues I think Jaxter might be up against.
Well, so here's the thing. Is a lot of we know that of the Jaxter users, over 90% have their cell phone registered with Jaxter. So, you know, you're much more likely, I think, when you get people's work numbers, you tend to get in voicemail, because I saw it at LinkedIn. You know, people just don't answer their work phone because there's so much garbage that comes in, you know, into that phone. It's a lot of salespeople, that's a different thing. And so they just don't answer that. But they do answer their cell phone. So I think that's one strong thing. And again, it might be more private, you know, to reach.
That's a very strong thing. I didn't realize that it was going to cell phones.
Well, it's up to the recipient who they route it to, but I can tell you most people use their cell phone for it. Mm-hmm. The second thing is you can send, you know, one of the three options, you can send them a text message. And so that's another option to, you know, to reach them through a text message, and it's a channel that doesn't go, that doesn't involve the voice. So you have that option as well. And some candidates, especially maybe in the engineering field, are more comfortable with that. Now, obviously, you don't have a chance to really kind of sell them as well in a text message. But the other thing that we're going to do is these text messages right now get delivered through email. But we're going to also enable people to receive these text messages on their cell phones. So this way, you can be sending SMSs to candidates. And I think that will be pretty interesting as well. And I think, you know, we'll get there pretty shortly to enable SMS delivery of text messages.
You know what? I got to tell you something, Maureen. Like, voicemail is essential. First of all, it's so great for us as a recruiter. I don't have to leave messages with the receptionist anymore. I can get straight through to the person I want to call. That's one thing. I don't know if that relates to Jaxter. But really, just like I said, once you put a call me for free button on your website, you have to moderate it. I understand psychologically that with Larry that, you know, call me now and, I'm just in another voicemail. But it's not just another voicemail. You're getting through to the person you want to call to. It's not like pick option 1, 2, 3, or 4, and, you know, you have to go. You call Bell Canada, it's a miracle if you ever get where you're going to go. It's so confusing. This is pretty direct, and it is moderate. And I don't want every pizza driver calling me.
Look at it just from the customer end, and think about this. You're walking into a car dealership, okay?
Yeah.
You want to check some stuff out. Somebody stops you at the door and they say, hey, are you going to buy a car today? You don't like that. They open their doors to anybody wanting to walk through, and the whole trick of the business is, okay, how do you deal with every single contact in a way that if they don't buy a car, you at least make a friend, you make something that's going to be valuable down the road. And all I was saying was this has an implied promise in it that if I wanted a message later, I'd send a text. If I wanted you to have a voicemail, I'd send you a V-mail. When it says call now, it says you can reach me.
Well, you know what? I got to disagree with you, at least as a recruiter. Jason Warner, formerly from Starbucks, Constantine, he used to be the chief recruiter at Starbucks. Now he's the chief recruiter at Google. He would agree with Larry. You want to turn everybody who calls you or applies for a job into an ambassador for your company because you dealt with them so well. Fine. But if they're phoning you up, there's no way that an ordinary recruiter can deal with all those calls. And I don't know that you're going to get so many calls, but if you do, you're in trouble. I mean, just like my friend said, call my son. Put me up for this job. Totally unqualified. What am I going to do, battle with those guys all day long? No way.
What are you going to do with the car dealership? How do you deal
car dealership is a different story. It's a different story. I don't know. But I, as a recruiter,
what do you mean it's a different story? It's a mall. It's a door. It's open. It's public. Come on in.
They're happy to get people coming in.
I've got a couple points here. So on the car dealership, actually, one of the things that so one is the recipient. You know, if you are an open kind of guy, you simply take the privacy shield off. And you look at like Scoble, right, the big blogger. You know,
yep.
he puts his phone number right on his blog. He's a very open kind of guy. So if he uses Dragster, and I hope he will one day, I'm sure he would take the privacy shield off. So it's a personal choice that people make. The second thing is when you contact somebody, you know, you ask them, like, why is one called now? One is called the voicemail. Is that somehow deceiving or something? Actually, the reason we put that in is, and this goes beyond what telephones do today, because sometimes it's a situation where you just want to leave a voicemail. You don't actually want to call the person. You know, maybe it's just like 5 minutes before you go into the opera performance. You know, you want to leave a voicemail.
You must think our listeners are pretty classy. Go ahead, though.
And so, or you're saying like, hey, I'm running 10 minutes late to this meeting. So it's your choice as the caller to leave a voicemail. You sometimes want to just leave a voicemail because you don't want to get into a conversation while you're 10 minutes late. You just want to tell them I'm 10 minutes late and you want to use your phone for that. So that's something you don't get on the phone. You don't get the choice to just leave a voicemail. It's always the recipient choice. So we give the caller a lot of choices so they can, you know, call the person and then it's going to be up to the caller whether or not they receive it live. But they can also choose just to leave a voicemail. And with the car dealership, I talked with Dan Mews, and I put the link into the comments here, is, you know, he said a lot of times people are hesitant. He works with e-commerce sites all the time. They're hesitant to call a car dealer because they're afraid they're going to get all, you know, as they call them, they know they've got caller ID, and they're going to keep calling them back whenever that's a new car in stock, and they don't want to do that. So one of the options we give to callers on Dragster is to keep your number private, the caller's number private. That way you can call the car dealer, you can call the real estate agent, yet you don't have to worry that person's going to keep calling you back. So now you may be bummed as a car dealer because you want to keep calling them back, but you know what? You wouldn't have gotten the call in the first place if the people weren't comfortable disclosing their phone number to you.
So I just want to say one last thing. I see thousands of possibilities and good possibilities with what you've done. I just wanted to raise the question of the implied promise. And let me also say, after having worked with hundreds of car dealerships over the course of 20 years, as well as a number of other businesses that deal with the public, believe me, they've got a lot of systems, and they're not just all about hammering people when they get their caller ID. But that's another topic. I won't cover it now. But believe me, there's stuff going on there that you'd be very happy and very surprised with. But I see thousands of possibilities. Sorry to take a negative.
No,
with that.
That's what the show's about.
I like the
negative calls. Don't be nice to Constantine. Who's next? Anybody? Any more callers? Okay,
I told Michael any question is fair game.
He's willing to tie. Said you're going to get in the ring with these guys, and nobody wants to take you on. I'm going to come back to just, you know, we're going to wrap it up then soon, but I want to ask you something. I just was fascinated when you're describing yourself. You say you have to be persistent. You got to build relationships. But, you know, it sounds like at first you were saying, I like, you know, something new, green fields. And so it sounded like you were attracted to Dragster because it was the unknown. But then you said, well, you know, there's $60 billion spent in telephone costs every year. So I'm thinking, was it the unknown that attracts you, or is it the fact that you know, it looks like there's a bonanza there, or maybe both. I'm just trying to, you know, when we size up candidates, we try to get a handle on them, and I'm trying to find out about you.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, I want something new that is, you know, that is hasn't been really tried before, that just makes it more exciting. But there are lots of new things I could try, right? I could try to become an acrobat or something. But, you know, I want to do things that have, you know, a potential big payoff as well. I mean, that's certainly clear, because you want to make an impact. And the $60 billion is actually not phone calls. These are just international phone calls. So, you know, that's actually also money to be made on the domestic phone calls as well. But I think what's actually more interesting, the market that is, I mean, that's one thing to make money off an existing market, and that's sort of a safe way to make money, which is always good in a business and if you want to raise venture capital and so forth. But the thing that's really interesting to me is, until now, the phone in a social circumstance, I mean, we're talking about recruiting very much in the business sense, but a lot of what we do is social as well, like the MySpace and so forth, is the phone has always been used just as a poor cousin of meeting people. It's like you stay in touch with people that you know, and if they're not in the same place, well, you just phone them. What's happening now that social networks and blogs exist, for the first time, the phone can be used as a way to get to know people. You know, by people hearing your voice when they come to your page, they're getting to know you in a much more personal way than otherwise they might if they just read text. And you can call them up. I mean, how would you call? Let's say you wanted to meet a young woman. You're young, you're maybe a guy, you're 15, and you want to meet someone kind of your age and a woman. I mean, you could go to the phone book before and say, oh, Sally Smith, I've got a phone number, let's give her a call. But, you know, you don't know if Sally Smith is willing to be called. But if you have a Sally Smith's MySpace page, she has the Jaxter widget on there. You know you've got much better odds of calling her, and she's giving you permission to call you. You know, it just makes it much easier. And before social networks and blogs, that context wasn't there. It's the equivalent of being at a baseball game. Much easier to talk to someone right next to you at the baseball game when you have that shared experience of a social networking page or a blog. And that's the other thing I would encourage from a recruiting perspective. If people have a Jaxter link on their profile, you know that you have a much better chance of getting through to that person because they basically opted in to being contacted directly, you know, even through their phone. So that could be a good criteria. Now, to qualify people. And I know one of our programmers here, he was on LinkedIn, you know, for a long time, didn't really get any calls. He put up his Jaxter link, and the next day he got a call from a recruiter. Now, luckily he told me, and he's staying. So, it definitely is a way, it's another signal of showing a little skin in the game.
Okay, and to put your link onto your LinkedIn page, your Jaxter link, you actually just use the URL I talked about and put it in as one of your web pages. Is that right?
Yeah, because you can put the URL on their websites, and then people click on it, and they call. I don't want to put my phone number on LinkedIn. And then which phone number? Do I want to put my phone number, my work phone number, my cell phone number? You know, I don't want people to have that phone number. But they could keep calling me at odd times of the day, because especially if it's a candidate that, you know, that you have to reject or a client that went sour, you know, you want to have be able to turn it off. On circumstances, that happens quite a bit, like, right? The girl wants to hear from the guys because he could be pretending who knows what on MySpace and sending interesting IMs. But once, you know, she gets him on the phone, may realize, you know, he's not really the guy that she wants to date. But then turning these guys off is pretty hard. But through Jaxter, she simply says block, and he no longer can call her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Maybe I'm jaded, but I think people enjoy the filter that they have between them nowadays electronically. People don't want to talk on the phone. People don't want to be disturbed.
You're not 15. I think that's the difference.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But if I were 15, you know, maybe I would spend a lot more time on the phone. I'm sure I did when I was 15, but I'm 53, and I don't want people calling me.
Okay.
Period.
There you go.
But I'm a phone sourcer. I don't want them calling me.
She's not a real – she's what I would call the, like, you know, the end of recruiters. She doesn't want them calling her. Okay?
I don't want them calling me.
Yeah,
nothing.
Pass it on the network. Okay. Anybody else? Because we've been going an hour. It went very fast, even though I didn't get to shout at anybody, really. So I see Amy's there. Nothing to say, right?
No, I was just listening intently. I actually made myself a promise that I would not mention my name or any comment until the very end of the show.
So this is your chance, because I'm going to let him go.
I actually did pretty well, and I'm giving myself a reward as we speak. But I do have one thing to say now that you've invited me to comment. It occurs to me that one of the great things about this is that now, in actual fact, we can put that phone number on job postings and really reverse the negative perception that recruiters have as being totally inaccessible and unresponsive to postings or job postings that they put online. And I think it might even help recruiters differentiate their postings from the myriad of other postings that look pretty generic on the net.
And well, you know, some places are doing that.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and one related thing, I think that's a good point. Again, some recruiters will want it, some won't. You know, I'm not expecting everybody's got a social network page or blog to put Jackstraw on, but I do know, especially in recruiting, you know, phones is a big thing, and people, you know, it's an important tool that people use a lot. And also, I think that, you know, like Monster's gotten a lot of bad reputation among candidates because they put in their phone number because they want to be called by, you know, for the job. That's why they list themselves on Monster. But then, you know, they're getting approached by people, you know, by career services people and so forth, you know, who are trying to charge them. And so, you know, so they have a difficult time. Do they want to put their phone number onto their Monster profile or Monster resume or not? And so I can see a lot of them just using the Jackstraw link as well as a way to, you know, to be accessible.
Yeah, that's very smart, yeah.
Some control over it.
Well, yeah, not that I have any strong need to defend Monster, but when you consider that the likelihood of a recruiter calling you back is virtually zero, it's probably just as well that there are services out there that will use your telephone number to at least give you a leg up, albeit for some money.
Yep.
Okay, so it sounds like it's over. Last chance. But I got to thank you. Thanks very much. We didn't get to fight as much as I was hoping we would. But it was really interesting, and it's true. You did show me some things that I told them right off the bat. I said, I don't think this is for us, but I'm on the verge of changing my mind.
Probably not for all of you, but I think for a good number, as you see it working, and you know, if something works, you go.
Well, that filter, you know, Larry said, you know, he had an interesting point, but I think the filter is essential. And if you have the safety of the filter there, you know, why not put it up? That's what I'm thinking now. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Bye.
We'll meet again.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thanks. Hope Jackson gets you some clients.
Yeah, no, I sent out a pile of them today. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Hey, Animal.
Yes.
I think Maureen's hung up. What's her number?
Everybody's hung up. Talk to you later.
See ya.